Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Patrick Maloney, Governor Andrew Cuomo had a little bit of a setback on the Tappan Zee Bridge. He had some money that he was using from one program for another. The federal EPA, that's the federal government that you're looking over, said no. Where are you on that one?
Well, I don't understand it. I don't understand why this administration would say this is a project of national significance and then throw up a bunch of red tape. So it's what frustrates me about the federal government. I support what the governor's been doing to get this thing built. He gets a lot of credit for getting this thing moving, for right-sizing the project. We should get it done, and we should have the help at the federal level. Now, some of us got the largest loan in the history of the federal government's program for this, approved just a short while ago, something called the TIFIA program, $1.6 billion. But, you know, here we go, you know, getting one part of the funding, and then the federal government tries to take away another part. We'll just keep blowing through these obstacles, and I support the governor on this. We need to get that bridge built, and we need to stop dithering with our infrastructure. We need massive investments in American infrastructure. I've got a bill that would tie the repatriation of hundreds of billions of dollars of profits being held overseas to rebuilding American infrastructure so that we can leverage private capital in this effort, so we don't have to raise everybody's taxes or something else. But we've got to invest. We've got to invest in our roads and our bridges. We can't be scrambling for funding sources on a project as critical as the Tappan Zee. But that's just the beginning. We've got hundreds of billions of dollars of investments we have to make so we can create a whole new generation of wealth for our middle class, and that's what I'm fighting for.
So as a congressman, can you make yourself clear to the administration, the Obama administration, that you don't like what you're seeing?
Well, listen, we talk to them all the time, and I will tell you, they've heard from me on a number of occasions on a number of subjects. You know, I'm not down there carrying anybody's water but the citizens I represent. And whether it's the Tappan Zee Bridge or a biomass project in Orange County that would create hundreds of jobs but that needs a federal loan guarantee, they've heard from me loud and clear. We want progress. We want results. We want our tax dollars at work here, not going all over the world in all sorts of adventures. We want to invest in our own country, in our own school. We want good roads and good bridges and a port in Newburgh. We want broadband systems and clean water systems and wastewater systems and all of the pillars of a new generation of economic growth and prosperity in this country. It's time we invested in our own country. That's why I'm on the committee. That's why I've got all these bills I'm working on. That's why I want to go back to Congress to keep doing this work, because we've got to grow this economy and get money in people's pockets again. We've been moving sideways for too darn long, and I do think this administration sometimes can't get out of its own way.
For those of us who have been around a while, we know, but what's FERC?
FERC is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. It's the entity that thought it made sense to artificially jack energy prices in the Hudson Valley. That was a decision that happened while, you know, if you'll forgive me, Nan Hayworth was in Congress. You know, she's asleep at the switch, doesn't do a darn thing about it. This is a ticking time bomb we found when I got into office. We went to work, working with my colleague, Congressman Chris Gibson, a Republican to the north of me, County Executive Mark Molinaro and others, bipartisan, different levels of government, said, how can we fix this? We went to FERC. We had meetings. I talked to the chairman. We wrote him letters. We gathered petitions. You know, everything you can think of, they said, we're not interested. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't bend. We got together with some others. We took them to court. But really what happened is Chris Gibson and I wrote legislation, took it to the House floor, got it passed in a bipartisan way to stop this rate hike. Then they started listening. We got the new head of the agency to commit to reviewing it, and I'm proud to say that just a couple days ago, these guys finally agreed to reopen this thing, and I will predict you we are going to win. This is the fruit of our labor. This has been months in the making. It never should have happened. But we have stopped it, I believe, and we'll just keep at it. I mean, we've got a couple more acts in this play, but we're getting close, and it's the right thing to do because we don't need higher energy prices right now in the Hudson Valley.
You're on the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee, as you mentioned before. There are all kinds of potential rail projects sitting around. Are you feeling that our railroads are safe right now, and that we're doing what we can to make them stronger?
No, they're not safe enough, and that's why I have legislation to implement what's called positive train control. That's Wi-Fi and GPS technology to stop runaway trains. It would have prevented the accident that killed four of our neighbors, hurt a bunch of people on December 1st of last year in Spuyten and Duyvil. I knew one of the folks who died in that crash. We can protect ourselves in so many better ways than we are now. Now, especially on the freight rail side, we've got billions of gallons of crude oil moving through the Hudson Valley. They're in the wrong cars. The trains don't have enough safety systems on them. We have been banging on the Department of Transportation, demanding new regs. I have legislation on this as well to make improvements in the safety practices, to train our first responders, to get the unsafe tanker cars off the railroad and get safer cars in there. I'd like these shipments to be rerouted so we don't have them coming through the Hudson Valley as often, because I think there are alternatives to that. You know, we don't get a lot of benefit out of it. It just moves through here on the rail. We don't get a lot of jobs and a lot of other benefit from it. But it, there's a lot more we can do, and I'm working on it. I will say, Alan, we got an Amtrak bill passed before we left town. I was proud of that. I'm on that committee, and we worked hard on that. It'll be the best reinvestments in the Northeast Corridor that we've seen in a long time, because the Northeast Corridor actually makes money, and it's about time that the revenues that people here are paying to Amtrak go back into improving the system here in the Northeast. That's going to happen for the first time. So there's some progress, but we got a lot more to do.
Russia, let's talk about that for a minute. Do you have any hope that Putin is anything but a madman?
Look, I wouldn't base a foreign policy around him being a good guy, that's for sure. I think that what we need to do is we need to be absolutely clear that our NATO alliances are sacrosanct, and an attack on a member of NATO is an attack on the United States, number one. Number two, with respect to Ukraine, if the Russians are determined to stay in Crimea, then it seems reasonable to me that the rest of Ukraine should be allowed to draw more closely to the community of nations in Europe, in Western Europe, the European Union. I think there could be the possibility of NATO membership down the line. And I think the strategic approach to this problem is to make it clear to Vladimir Putin that we are not going to cave in to this kind of thuggery and this kind of intimidation. And the way to do that is to bolster the government in Ukraine, to weave them closer into Europe, and to make clear that there will be consequences to this kind of adventurism. We've been down this road before, and the only thing a guy like Vladimir Putin is going to understand is strength, and we should demonstrate it.
But does that include boots on the ground?
Listen, what we have as the United States is enormous economic power. We have an enormous collection of important allies right next door. The last thing we need to do is use American military personnel to effectuate the policy I'm talking about. In fact, I think it'd be counterproductive. But what we can do is we can assist the Ukrainian government. We can help them build up their own democracy. We can offer them membership over time in the European Union. And the Europeans need to step up and protect their own neighbor to the east. And we can also provide better energy independence to the Europeans so that they are less dependent on Russia. None of these things require direct military involvement, although I wouldn't rule out providing military support to the Ukrainian government in terms of assistance and training and material. The fact of the matter is we need to remember that we've got a lot of tools in our kit as the United States, and some of them are military, but a lot of them are economic. Some of them are our ideas, by the way, and we need to promote those as well.
Sean Patrick Maloney, always wonderful to talk to you. I really thank you for stopping by in a very hectic campaign. I say to you what I say to everybody, good luck. I mean, I know this really gets the adrenaline going. So take care of yourself, will you?
Thank you, Alan. Well, listen, I'm hoping I get another 2-year contract. I'd like to keep doing this work, and I'll come back and talk to you many more times.